It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, tomorrow is the birthday of Earth Day founder Gaylord Nelson, former governor and senator from Wisconsin. We'll look back at his career and his legacy.
But first, a state elections official warns that candidates could have direct control over millions of dollars of undisclosed corporate contributions following one judge's ruling in the John Doe investigation of Governor Walker's recall election campaign.
Kevin Kennedy, the head of the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Board, raised concerns about Judge Gregory Peterson's interpretation of campaign finance law in an affidavit he wrote back in February.
In addition to having financial control over donations, he also warned that political candidates could form secret committees and direct them to run large-scale and negative advertising without disclosing who made the contributions.
We have Jay Heck with us now. He's executive director of Common Cause here in Wisconsin. Jay, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be with you, Rob. Appreciate it.
It seems like the core issue that Kevin Kennedy was apparently bringing up was this idea of coordination between, if I'm a candidate, my campaign and outside groups. This was like, it seems like there used to be an electric fence between those two organizations in the past. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this revelation of this snippet from a February affidavit is a really good summary of what this investigation, this now 2 years old almost, is all about. And it really is. For a long time in Wisconsin, it has been illegal for candidate campaigns, candidate of, in this case, Governor Walker in 2012 in the recall election, to coordinate or really even be in touch at all with outside groups that may support that campaign, but using their own resources and, you know, running ads that are not part of the Walker campaign in this case, but ads that would be what we call phony issue ads that would be supportive of Walker or detrimental to Walker's opponent, who was Tom Barrett at the time. So, And what Kevin is saying here, and Kevin, by the way, has been overseeing our elections since 1978, so he knows what he's talking about. What he's saying is that under the interpretation, in this case of Judge Peterson, but also by the charges that have been brought by the Wisconsin Club for Growth and others against this investigation, is that if we don't have this firewall, as you called it, and that's actually a good word for it, then anything could go. There could be the candidate could consult with these outside groups. They could spend millions of dollars. The candidate could direct those ads, but appear to stand away from it, and the public would not have any idea what's going on. And that's very dangerous.
So why is that dangerous? I mean, we know that this campaign and their supporter, they're all on the same side. They're working for the same goal, the election of candidate Walker in that case, or whatever candidate we want to name in the future. Why is it bad if they, you know, divvy up the labor a little bit?
Well, here's the problem, and it's and by the way, if this stands, if this policy that allows coordination stands, it would really go further than even the Roberts Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, has gone, and their incredible opening up of the campaign finance laws in the country and consequently in the state. The problem is corruption. And the deal is that if you have a candidate who's running his own campaign and these outside groups come in, well, the outside groups could be promising all kinds of stuff if, you know, the candidate decides he wants to do something or will do something to favor them. But even more so, the candidate then becomes very beholden to these outside groups for spending, you know, in this case, $9 million. And, you know, it doesn't take a genius to see that the corruption of all of this money could have a very, very deleterious and detrimental effect on the making of public policy in Wisconsin and anywhere else that this is allowed to happen. So this firewall has been in place so that there is no danger, there shouldn't be that danger of that corrupting influence of these outside groups working with a candidate. In 1997, a Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin, who won, by the way, Justice John Wilcox, was fined $60,000 when his campaign engaged in illegal coordination with an outside group. Justice Wilcox didn't even know about it, but nevertheless, that was against the law then. It is now, and it should be in the future.
Well, you mentioned the Roberts Court. They're taking a narrow view of what corruption is. The view would be if my business hands you a bag of money for your personal use, you, the candidate, or builds you a new summer home in exchange for doing something, that's corruption. If I spend on behalf of your campaign or donate to spend on behalf of your campaign, That's political speech. Yeah, it might look a little shady. Political speech is important. The government shouldn't restrict that.
Well, one of the things that that Eric O'Keefe and the Wisconsin Club for Growth are asserting, and some of these other outside groups, is that unless you run a communication that says vote for, vote against, support, defeat, those are what we call the magic words. If you run a communication like that, then yes, you should have to report your donors, and yes, that could constitute illegal coordination. But most groups don't run those types of communications anyway. Most of them run what we call phony issue ads, which is issue advocacy masquerading as campaign ads masquerading as issue advocacy. Those would be the type of ads that say, John Smith wants to pollute your water and destroy your schools. Call John and tell him not to do that. Well, that has the same effect as vote for or defeat. So that's what we call a loophole. And that's the loophole that these groups are trying to exploit. And they're trying to say that by using this, there's no corrupting influence. And again, the U.S. Supreme Court has gone pretty far, but they haven't gone that far. And indeed, the Roberts Court has even said that we should require in Wisconsin and the nation should require disclosure of these outside groups. So at the very least, the people of this country and of Wisconsin would know who's trying to influence their vote at election time. What this whole investigation seeks to do with the Club for Growth is to destroy disclosure and to destroy any laws governing coordination and corruption. We would have literally the Wild West here in Wisconsin, where anything goes and all the money could be spent and no Wisconsinite would know where it comes from or who's giving it to the candidates.
This is just a judge's ruling. Does it really have that much effect, or is this something that could be appealed on and on? Is this almost sidebar in this judge's ruling really going to have that far-reaching an effect?
Well, you know, Rob, there have been so many twists and turns in this entire drama. Just last week, as you may know, Eric O'Keefe and the Wisconsin Club for Growth sued to try to keep the Government Accountability Board out of this. They said that they've overstepped their jurisdiction. There have been, as you say, preliminary decisions made by Judge Rudolph Randa, a very conservative judge in Milwaukee. No, these were all are on appeal. The Randa decision is on appeal before the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. I'm pretty hopeful that that will be overturned. And with regard to whether or not the Government Accountability Board has the right to oversee our elections and to make rulings like this, of course they do. The GAB was set up in 2007, right after the biggest political scandal in Wisconsin's history, the Legislative Caucus scandal, when the State Elections and Ethics Board failed miserably to police wrongdoing in the Capitol, and that five top legislative leaders of both political parties were criminally charged and ousted for office. A bipartisan majority in the legislature set up the GAB in 2007, and they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, which is to investigate things like illegal coordination. So what we're seeing on the part of Club for Growth is an attempt to destroy and go after anybody who is trying to investigate them. I think in the long run, it's going to fail.
You know, with all the Supreme Court rulings lately, limits on aggregate donations by one person to a number of candidates, it seems like the floodgates are open for money. It's going to make it through one way or another. Why is this one issue, this coordination issue and the extensions you've talked about from it, so important?
Well, because coordination does what the Supreme Court and even the Roberts Court has upheld continually is that you can regulate this type of activity if it leads to corruption or, just as importantly, the appearance of corruption. And I don't think it takes a genius to see that if you had these outside groups coordinating with the candidate, there would be plenty of room not only for corruption, but certainly the public would perceive it as total corruption of the system. So that's why I think that the coordination rules are going to stand. I also think that this idea that only those types of communications that use the explicit vote for, vote against so-called magic words, I don't think that's going to fare well in the long run either, because obviously everybody knows that there are many other types of communications that can call for the defeat or the election of a candidate that don't use those words. So I think on both those important counts, justice, in my view, will prevail, that we will have or we will continue to have disclosure. We'll get disclosure, hopefully, in Wisconsin, and that these rules governing coordination between outside groups and candidates will stand. On the other hand, I've been wrong before, and it's very possible that the court could surprise us yet again.
Jay, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Jay Heck. He's the executive director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, bringing us up to date on what he sees as possible fallout from just one of the twists and turns of the John Doe investigation.